Gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's that time again. It's the 33rd episode, lucky number double three, of the Snobcast. And of course, joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, Miss Shay Simone. Say, what is up?
What is up, everybody? Just folding clothes.
Exactly. And our guest this month is Jay from the Young Dad Podcast. Jay, say what's up. That is the name of your podcast, right?
Yes, that is the name of the podcast. Young Dad Podcast. We've been going for a couple years, over about 100 episodes. So a lot of good times to be had over there. So what's up, everybody? Excited to be here.
And we're excited to have you. And this month is the lovely month of March, and the grass is being cut. The peanuts and popcorn are being made, and hot dogs are being sold at ballparks nationwide. The start of the Major League Baseball season has begun. Go Dodgers. And with that start, we decided this month would be the perfect month to have Jay on to talk about some baseball movies. We picked out three very good classics, two of which came out in the same exact year. We're going to start with those two. Both two of them came out in 1989. And the first film that we're going to start with, before we get that done, though, finally arriving, fashionably late, as usual, the lovely and talented Mr. Nick Ripley. He should be arriving here momentarily. There he is, this son of a bitch.
Recording, man. You know how it goes.
Yes, I do know how it be. I do. I understand how that goes. Vocals are always the longest track, too, because I want you to lay down 3-4 times. I get it.
Oh, yeah. I was just laying down some solos for our first single, so.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hype.
Love it.
Now we got on keys right now, so, yeah.
Love it.
I can.
As we were saying, the first film that we're going to talk about today is from 1989. It is directed by Phil Alden Robinson, and it is based on a book by W.P. Kinsella called Shoeless Joe. The film is called Field of Dreams. Ladies and gentlemen, have we seen Field of Dreams? It's a classic.
Yes.
If you haven't, what's wrong with you?
Yes, it's Kevin Costner playing Ray Kinsella, who is a farmer in Iowa, and he is guided by voices, which is where not where the band got their name, but I'm sure it is, to make a baseball field in his cornfield, because if he builds it, they will come, and they are zombie baseball players from the Black Sox, including Shoeless Joe Jackson, played by the late, great Ray Liotta. Shay, you've seen the movie. What do you think of this film?
So I saw the movie very, very recently. And I think for me, I get, you know, where it's coming from and what it's doing. I think I was just too old seeing it. So the nostalgia and stuff, I don't really feel a sense of that. I felt like it was like a very comforting watch, and I feel like it could be like, I don't know. For me, basically what I'm saying is it didn't really resonate with me, I think, the way that it does for a lot of other people. So this movie wasn't really for me, but I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's iconic. The performances are really great. As always, I enjoy Ray Liotta. But I don't know. I didn't look that far into this, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if Ray Liotta has even seen the movie. but don't quote me on that. But yeah, I felt fine with it, but it's, I don't think it's really my cup of tea at the end of the day. But yeah,
I don't think it helps that you're not really a baseball fan.
Also, yeah, that too.
do you know who the little girl is in the movie?
I don't.
It's Gabby Hoffman.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
Yeah. She grew up now, and she's like,
love Gabby Hoffman.
Yeah. We love Gabby Hoffman. She's great. Now, I'm going to ask you your thoughts, Nick, before we get to our guest thoughts on the film. Nick, have you seen Field of Dreams? And what do you think of it?
No, but I'm very aware of the cult status that comes around it. I mean, it has references in Family Guy. It has all sorts of things. So it's very alive in pop culture. And I never got the chance to actually see it. But yeah, I'm very acutely aware that it was a very impactful film for its time and whatnot.
So, speaking of that impact, Jay, talk to us about the film before I give up my thoughts on the film.
You asked me my thoughts?
Yeah.
I love this movie. It's definitely, obviously, my top three. It's been nominated for, you know, three different Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Original Scene, Best Adapted Screenplay in 2017. It's a United States preserved film on the National Film Registry by the Library of Congress. It's a classic by all means of the word. If you're a baseball fan of any means, you've seen Field of Dreams. The history that it has, the angst, the Black Sox tie to the Black Sox scandal is really interesting. The homage it pays to, you know, just early baseball in the 1900s is really cool. Of course, you know, it's further built on in baseball lore and other movies. I can't think of it right now, but it's Where the Nerds Play Baseball. Bad News Bears, I think, where the rich guy gets, if you build it, nerds will come. So it gets reinvented over time. So it's really cool how it evolves over the last 40 years or so, 35. So I really like it. I'm a big fan of it. And I love what Major League Baseball has done to honor Field of Dreams in general. The last 3 years, having like a Field of Dreams series where the players wear throwback uniforms, enter in through the corn. They have like the whole field and everything, and how it just pays homage like to the movie, the legacy of the Field of Dreams, and just everything it is today. So again, it's one of my top, obviously top three favorite baseball movies, but I would say it's probably my third top three. So
I personally, and I'm going to get to my thoughts on it. I personally love the movie. I think it's an emotional powerhouse when you start to realize the affect of Shoeless Joe on Ray Kinsella. I mean, it's so in the zeitgeist that John Mulaney, instead of presenting his award correctly at the Oscars this year, literally just explained the plot of this movie to the audience. So only John Mulaney could get away with that, though. But I love this movie. I think it's a really, really good piece of baseball filmmaking. And it's because it's made with love for the game and for understanding of the game. And you can tell Kevin Costner loves baseball because he's done like three baseball movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he just keeps making them, even though he's like 89 years old now. But I love this film. It's a classic for a reason. It's going to always be around. It'll outlive us, much as in the way that the sport of baseball will outlive us all. I love the movie. I think it's great. Now,
100%.
Our second pick also came out in 1989 and is a very, very different take on the baseball movie. This one is literally about, at the time, current baseball players on a team that no longer exists.
Technically,
this movie is called... No, they don't exist anymore. They're called something different. This film is called Major League, and it came out in 1989, and it stars Tom Berenger, Charlie Sheen, and Corbin Burnson. It is about the new owner of trying to purposely field a horrible team so that they will lose, and no one will go to the games, and she can move the team to sunny Florida. But when that plot is uncovered, they start to try and win, just to spite her. Now, the Cleveland Indians, for reference, no longer exist because that is a horrible... Their mascot, Captain Wahoo, is a wildly racist stereotype of Native Americans.
Mm-hmm. So, but yet the Braves still have the chop.
Listen, yes. And the Chiefs still have the chop, too. Let's not talk about
that.
That's
true, they
do. The fact that the defending Super Bowl champions are also a completely racist piece of shit team. But anyway, point is, this is a comedy of the highest order. Charlie Sheen plays Ricky Vaughn, a pitcher with control problems. And when you throw pitches all over the place, you're called being wild. And so whenever he comes into the game, Wild Thing begins to play.
Well, he's also called Wild Thing because he's an ex-con.
He's also a convicted criminal. Yes, that doesn't help. Now, this film is kind of nuts. It mixes the best of baseball and comedy and screwball comedy, because guess what? Screwball is also a pitch in baseball, so that sort of works.
Hey,
have you guys seen this film, Nick Shay?
No. I have seen. I did. And for me, I think personally, like, if something is so comparing this to like Field of Dreams per se, I think I definitely prefer something to have a lot more comedy in it in order for it to have more impact. And I do like Major League a lot more. And it's funny what you say about Charlie Sheen's character basically being erratic. All of the things that you know about his character, you can tell just from that weird freaking haircut that he has. Because every time he would just turn his head, I would just bust out laughing. and if anything, like, people should just see the movie just for that alone. That and Wesley Snipes, who was, like, honest to God, my favorite part of the movie. Because every second he gets a little... like, whenever he just shows up on screen, he just makes me freaking laugh. Like, whatever he says or does or whatever, he's just such a character. And he's got, like, this really great... improvisational or like naturalistic kind of comedy style, which I've personally never seen Wesley do before. I recently watched Tu Wong Fu,
which
was really in that. Yeah, I love that movie. But yeah, no, overall, I did enjoy the movie. I think mostly for me, it was definitely chuckle-worthy. And either, you know, other than Charlie Sheen and Wesley Snipes and the guy who played the coach, who was really great, like, me and Landon were like imitating his very deep guttural voice. Yeah, very, very entertaining. I really enjoyed, well, actually, I can't say that I enjoyed it, but in a weird way I did, the scene where the owner goes into the locker room and he's just straight up standing in front of her butt ass naked. She was like, "You want to grab a towel?" He's like, "Well, we're out of towels." So he's just standing there. He's like, "Bitch, give us more money." I did enjoy the movie. I like that as a non-baseball person. It did have the appeal to me just because it has such a wide range of characters to enjoy, even if I didn't necessarily like enjoy all of them. Like, there were certain subplots, like the romantic subplots, that I was just like, that scene didn't need to be in there at all. And I was like, I didn't get anything out of that scene. Like, the library scenes, just the whole thing with the librarian lady. I was not interested in that subplot whatsoever. And kind of little things like that. So because of that, I don't think I'd prefer to watch it again. But it's okay. I enjoyed it overall.
I personally love this movie, but let's get to Nick's thoughts before we go to Jay. Nick.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
No.
Nicholas.
I haven't seen a lot of baseball movies. I'm gonna be upfront about that.
Listen, if somebody were being
I'm all for 80s Charlie Sheen.
If somebody were being impaled by some manner of sharp object, you would have seen this movie.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Or put zombies in it. That's he would have seen it.
Yeah, accurate. Yeah. I haven't watched a lot, admittedly. Baseball's not my personal fave sport, but I think I've seen the cover of this back in Hollywood Video when Hollywood Video was a thing.
Yeah.
It's an iconic cover. Yeah. So I agree with you. Thank you for your input there, Nicholas. We appreciate you. Jay,
thank you.
Tell us about Major League.
Man, I love Major League. And one of my favorite things about Major League is that it has two not great sequels, which did not receive the success of the original. The original is so cool because it had an $11 million budget and it grossed $75 million at the box office in 1989, which is a lot of money if you put it into today's like sense of everything. The characters are really funny and fun. It's loosely based on an old St. Louis Rams football team owner who took over the team from her husband and was trying to essentially do the same thing to move the team. So it's like, it's loosely based on how those events happened, but baseball worthy. This team's really fun. It's really cool how they go from being 16-61 and then they end up tying the Yankees. They have that one game playoff. Dorne's wife sleeps with Vaughn, causing more chaos, and then they ended up winning that game in the bottom of the ninth, won the division, went to the playoffs. Dorne and Vaughn, Dorne punches Vaughn, and they embrace, and then everything's just great after that. At the end of the movie, so it's kind of a wild and crazy ride. It's definitely funny. There's alternate endings too, which is fun. In the Wild Thing Edition DVD, it shows like an alternate ending to the movie. So it's overall it's really fun. It's really, I like it more than I like Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams hits the emotions. Major League is fun and funny and loose and just a good time. So
I love it. I love it. My favorite part of the movie is Bob Uecker. Just a bit outside. Yep, just a bit. It's 30 feet in the wrong direction. I love Bob Uecker in this movie. He's so funny. And I think one of the things I think that's really held true about this film is it has a very 80s sensibility. But since it's in the late 80s, it holds up well enough through watches in the 90s. Whereas when you get to Major League 2 in 94, it all sort of falls apart because that movie sucks.
Yeah.
As with any good 80s comedy, don't start me on Major League Back to the Minors. That movie's terrible.
So bad.
As with every good 80s comedy, they tried to make a sequel in the 90s and it sucked.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just how it is. And honestly, I'm not really too surprised that the sequels are terrible because this film, as with most sports films, works best as a controlled story. And personally, I like the film. I want you to see it, Nick. I think you'll like it.
Yeah, I love 80s Charlie Sheen. Wesley Snipes, he does have some serious comedic chops. I mean, you just have to watch that one episode of What We Do in the Shadows to see that, I think.
I've never seen What We Do in the Shadows.
You've never seen what? Oh my God, it's so good.
I saw the movie. I didn't see the TV show.
It's so good.
Yeah, I just don't have time for TV show. You guys know this.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just...
It's hard. It's hard investing in TV shows.
We played Blade, and it's fucking hilarious.
Between this and, you know, between doing all these things and now I have a girlfriend, it's like, now I don't have any time to do.
I feel that. Your relationships definitely take up a little bit of time, for sure.
They do. They really do. They really do, bro. That's just how it is. So let's get to our third pick, which is not from the 80s, but it is an absolute classic, especially if you were a child of the 90s, as I was and always will be. 1993's The Sandlot. In the summer of 1962, a new kid named Scotty Smalls moves to a town and is taken under the wing of all of the neighborhood kids who all somehow play baseball. And hilarity and comedy ensues. Let's start here. Shay, Nick, have you seen the damn movie?
Of course.
Hell yeah.
Now we're talking.
That was an essential.
Yeah.
That movie. Yeah.
Basically, you're forced to watch this movie if you have cable.
Yeah.
Yes.
That, I mean, so. My history with Sandlot's a little bit kind of interesting because I think I might have, back in my early actor days, I think I either auditioned for Sandlot 2, unless that, or it was like through an acting class, like they gave me like lines for like it was probably for an acting workshop, I think. Yeah, that sounds more right. But yeah, for an acting workshop, I got lines from like Sandlot too, and that kind of like sparked my curiosity as a kid. Like, what was Sandlot? So I watched it, and yeah, no, it became a, like, I'm not even a huge baseball guy, but it became a pretty frequent watch as a kid. So yeah, strikes a little bit of a sentimental spot for me.
Well, I guess I don't have to ask you your thoughts on the film because you already answered that question for me, Nick. I appreciate that, buddy. You made that easy.
I don't watch now, baseball films typically, but that one's a different story.
Exactly. See, there's something about this film that just sort of holds true, even though it's, you know, a baseball film. It's more than just a baseball film. It's a discovery of childhood film, discovering how to have fun as a kid film. And Shay, what do you think of the film?
I think the film, like, it definitely holds up. I think it's just one of those, it's a freaking treasure of cinema, to be honest. And I love it when kids movies have that, like, appeal, that long-lasting appeal throughout time, because especially watching it as a kid. Thankfully, like I said, we had cable, so, like, it was The Sandlot, or you could watch, like, freaking, I don't know, whatever else was going on television, but The Sandlot is always there. And as seeing that as a kid, it's just so much fun, because kids' movies are meant to be so vicarious and, like, challenge and inspire the viewers to be adventurous, and how important friendships are, and making those connections, and how they can be challenging and all that. How certain things can be scary and blown out of proportion. I don't know, jokes are funnier, and you're allowed to just be kind of crude or whatever and have that immature humor. So it's definitely just like a comfort movie. It's a getaway movie. I don't know why, but I think as a kid also, like, because I'm such a huge animal lover, the plot with the dog was like, that was one of my favorite parts of it. As a kid, for some reason, I really liked the dog arc and how they ended up, like, pretty much befriending it at the end. I was like, yay, happy ending. And it just, like, as a kid, also just feeling, like, this kind of sense of community in a way. Whether or not you were a kid that did have a group of friends, or you wanted to look for that sense of community somewhere, and playfulness, like, that's what The Sandlot gives to you. It's just an iconic movie. It's such a cute movie. It's very like Goonies. I was also a fan of The Little Rascals growing up, so yeah, in that whole vein or whatever. You don't have to, it's a baseball movie, but it's also just kind of not. It's just like a movie about these kids and their shenanigans, and it's really great and really iconic. And the child actors are amazing in it, and they bring such quality and such charisma to the screen. And that's why it's also just so culturally relevant, because they ate, they served. You're killing me, Smalls. That's all.
It's funny you mentioned Little Rascals. That also came out in 1994, the exact same year. A year after The Sandlot, which the 90s, I keep telling people, the 90s was a great decade to grow up in, and it's movies like this as to why.
I feel bad for Gen Z, because I don't know what their state of movie watching is these days. It's not like they have any excuse, but they have such an oversaturation of, like, media now. But, like, back in the day, it's just like, I'm glad that I caught at least the tail end of that, and like, pretty much all I ever watched was, like, 90s movies and 80s movies growing up. So I am really thankful that I got that. But just a little, like, anecdote about The Little Rascals, because The Little Rascals had such a long-lasting impact on my brain, subconsciously, subliminally. The part where Darla squishes the can and she goes, and, like, all the other kids are like, oh, damn. I do that whenever I finish drinking a can of something. I crush it like that.
I can already imagine Shay three beers in.
Yeah. Whenever I finish.
That sounds all right.
You would know, Nick. You would know.
I would. Yeah.
Jeez, literally, that's so funny.
At our friend's house the other day, I was doing that.
So,
Jay, before I get into my thoughts on The Sandlot, let me hear what you have to say, because I think this movie's great.
Sandlot is incredible. Absolutely chef's kiss masterpiece. Wendy the lifeguard was when I knew I liked women and will always like women. Wendy's a legend, childhood crush, first crush.
Marley Shelton.
Whew, smoke show. Everyone loves this acting crew. We will always remember the great Hambino. For the rest of his life, he's still clinging to that. The great Hambino,
Patrick Renna.
Yeah, it's still like his like thing on TikTok and everything. Like, the phrase "You're killing me, Smalls" will never die.
Yeah.
It's just overall, it's iconic. Everything about it's iconic. Benny the Jet being actually like a real thing in baseball is really cool too. I don't even want to say anything about these. They don't deserve a full breath, but the Sandlot 2 and the Sandlot 3, just absolutely terrible. Just so bad. So bad. Like they should have just kept the one. The one was perfect. It was beautiful. Everything about it, perfect. A lot of like what Shai said, friendship, camaraderie, you know, entertaining yourself, the whole dog arc, that kind of sub story, just really cool overall. Like everything with this movie is just super fun, super cool, super entertaining. It's funny, it makes you laugh, it makes you cry, it makes you go, aw. When you see Wendy the lifeguard, it makes your jaw drop. So everything about it is just so great. Overall. So yeah, good times, good fun times.
Personally, I think this is one of the best baseball movies ever made. It's also one of the best kids films ever made. And it's funny because in the 90s, there was this huge push for children's sports movies. So you had The Sandlot for baseball. You also had Angels in the Outfield, which is another kids baseball movie. Rookie of the Year, another kids baseball movie. And then you had Patrick Renna is also in a children playing soccer movie. One of the best examples, The Big Green. You also had children playing hockey, aka the Mighty Ducks.
Eight.
So you had children playing football, aka Little Giants. So you had a lot of these movies coming out in the 90s, and they're all phenomenal and funny and great. And The Sandlot is one of the best among them. And it holds up, and it still says they hold up. And I get you with Wendy the Lifeguard, but I get you. But I was introduced to the bassist of the Smashing Pumpkins before that, and that was my first love.
Oh,
Darby, the bassist. Yeah, Darcy, the bassist for the Smashing Pumpkins, was my original first crush because she could play guitar and she was cool.
Oh, we miss you, Darcy.
We miss Darcy every day because her and Billy Corgan don't get along.
But Billy Corgan get along with?
Not a lot of people, honestly. He's kind of an asshole.
Joe Rogan.
But, I personally love this film, and the fact that they got Squints, and I think in all of the movies, is just sort of a bastardization of Squint's character. But nonetheless, this movie's great. It's one of the best baseball movies ever made. I love the giant mastiff. He looks so adorable, and I want to hug him. He looks like he just wants to crush everything. I do love the comparison to Little Rascals. I think that's a pretty good comparison. Mm-hmm. I think this movie's so great. It's a great coming of age movie, set in a time that exists as far as very, very long ago, but the film itself still holds up. It feels just brand new, like it came out last week, and that's so difficult to do. It's real shame that the director of this film's next film was something that was not nearly as good. He did First Kid with Sinbad. As his follow-up, and I can't say that I'm a fan of that particular film. It's another example of kids taking over the 90s. That's what made the 90s so great, is that kids sort of took over that decade. I mean, you had your Nickelodeons, your Cartoon Networks, and kids very prevalent on those networks, as we've now discovered, thanks to Quiet on Set, for better or worse. We'll get to...
I was about to mention that when you said Nickelodeon 90s. I was like, speaking of that.
So, Jay, what you need to realize is when I'm running the show here, I know exactly what I'm going to say. And I know what you're going to say, too. And I know what Shay's going to say most of the time. Although most of the time, I sort of don't, because I never know what's about to come out of her mouth.
Thank you.
That's why we love having her around. But honestly, this movie's great, and I love it, and I think it's a great film, and I'm glad that we all have seen it and all enjoy it equally. Let's get to this real quick. I picked out a second topic. It was a surprise topic, so here's what we're gonna do. Okay, Jay, I know you're not a movie guy by nature, but you see movies and you watch movies, and I have Tweedledee and Tweedledum here with me, and I love them. Let's talk about the movies that haven't come out yet. Let's talk about something that you give me one movie from each of you that you guys are all looking very forward to seeing.
Ooh.
So the rest of 2024. Yeah.
There's a lot of movies coming out this year.
This is a hard one because, yeah.
Like a lot.
I think more, I've just kind of, as much as, all, you know, all press is good press, is what they say. But and they do this on purpose, but my brain just automatically went to the movies that I know I'm not going to be seeing this year.
Of course it did. That's just the most.
Crow.
Okay. Crow, I'm going to see it and it's probably going to be bad and I don't care.
It's going to be terrible, dude. It's going to be so bad.
I'm still going to go see it.
I need a second on that to think about what it is I want to see.
Well, there are two other knuckleheads in this discussion.
I have two that I'm looking forward to seeing this year.
Well,
that
Jay,
I'm really excited
you get
for.
One. So okay, narrow one, it down.
Yeah, I love like both these movies. But I think the one I'm most excited for in like a really weird, probably just like I'm a dad and I work in mental health now, is Inside Out 2.
Yeah.
Like I'm really excited for how they've not like redone it, but it's like a true like growing up with it. From like the previews and trailers that I've seen, like the kid in the movie has grown up. So now that kid went from this little kid who was just feeling happy, sad, mad, angry, like very basic level emotions, nothing complex really, to now where they grew it up into like a preteen teenager. So it's the years that have gone by is like the years the kid's older now. So now that kid's starting to feel anxiety and depression and all these like hormones and things like that. So it's all mixing within that. So I'm really excited to see what that looks like and how that comes out. Mostly because I also work in mental health. I'm a mental health clinician. So I really look forward to using that as like a tool to see how that can, I can relate that back to work and everything else. So
I love that.
Interesting.
You forgot the one rule. You didn't know about this rule, but there's one rule that we don't, that we have on this show.
Oh no.
We don't talk about Disney.
Yep. Well,
okay, then my pick is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
There we go. That's a damn good
one,
pick.
I love the Apes movies. I have the originals, like the originals in like a DVD pack, unopened. Like I love the original Apes. I love the new Apes that have come out over the years. Absolutely love the Planet of the Apes series, right? Series. Big fan. I love gorilla movies, monkey movies, world takeover movies. So I'm really excited to see this one. I think it's going to be great. So
let me tell you, you're not alone in that feeling. I can't wait to see that. Oh my God, there she is.
Sorry.
Shocking reveal. That's a great pick, Jay. I love that pick, man. I'm a big fan of the Apes movies myself. I have all three of them on Blu-ray. And yes.
So I know what my movie is. I should have known. It was a total no-brainer. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nick was going to say it. But I'm just going to say it. Yeah.
Maxine?
Yes. It's
I know you. I know you.
You know me. And I know Nick. I was kind of wondering if Nick was going to. So that's why I was just like, I got to say it. Because that's the only movie right now. Because I don't really keep up with it. Because it's just, it's keeping up with these things is a lot for me. So I just let it wash over me. But Maxine, because I know everyone isn't like super, super hot on it. But I really, really loved X when it came out. I was like, Mia Goth is fucking iconic. She was really iconic in that role. I would quote her. No one knew what I was talking about. But then Pearl came out and everyone was like, that's when everyone was like, oh, this is Mia Goth is amazing. Like, she's a beast. So, of course, we're all excited for Maxine. It's going to take place in the 80s. So it's going to be like, you know, X was an homage to 70s slashers, particularly Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The house even looks like really similar in structure.
to the house in Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Pearl was an homage to like Technicolor films in like the 50s, I guess. But Pearl's also just kind of a character study all of its own. It's very iconic. And now Maxine, we get to see, I guess, just like this VHS-y 80s glam themed thing. We don't know if Maxine is going into the Hollywood industry as an actress or as an adult actress. I'm guessing it's probably the latter. Kind of just a Love Lacey and Deep Throat kind of thing. I think that's the direction that it's headed. Halsey's gonna be in it. Awesome, cool,
crazy.
Halsey's, wow, okay. But you could already see from the stills that they've released that the character or the costuming, chef's kiss. The marketing has been very, very, like, very smart. Just like they were smart with Pearl. And so not just smart with Pearl, but very, very unique in how they were just like, oh, by the way, here's a prequel. Bloop. Boom. You got it. But yeah, super, super hyped for Maxine. And if I can mention another honorable mention real quick, Problemista. I'm really excited to see that one.
I saw it yesterday.
Oh, he's good.
He's goo.
Oh, I love it. I'm so excited to see it.
I saw it yesterday. So we were at the Taste of Things at a theater here in town that's 80 years old, and they played the trailer for it. And my girlfriend goes, she goes, we have to see that when it comes out. So I text her. I'm like, guess what comes out Friday? She's like, what? I was like, the Salvadorian movie comes out on Friday. She's like, oh my God, we're going to go see it Saturday. So she picked me up from work yesterday and we went to go see it yesterday.
That's amazing. Oh, goaded girlfriend. Oh my God. So excited to see it. As soon as I saw it, I just felt like it's going to be a movie that's going to be very underseen and very underrated because it doesn't look, you know, it doesn't seem like anything like bombastic, like Pearl would be. Like Pearl is literally screaming in your face. Problemista, I feel like it's definitely going for more of that niche thing, having to do with like identity and probably autism.
No, Tilda Swinton screaming in your fucking face for 20 minutes. Awesome. It's awesome.
Oh.
We love Queen Tilda.
So it's Tilda. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm very love it.
Yes. I'm glad you picked that because I saw it last night, so the review will be up this week, and it's phenomenal. I loved it. I loved it a lot. I really enjoyed it. The Gateway Film Center here in Columbus, great theater to see a movie at. So if you guys are in the area, check it out. It's near the OSU campus. It's great. Nick, give me one film that's not Maxine, please.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, September, baby.
Yeah, I'm excited. Look, I want to see what a Beetlejuice movie made nowadays with Jenna Ortega and of course Michael Keaton and Winona Ryder coming back looks like. Like, I'm stoked for it.
I am equally stoked for it, my guy. Great pick.
Thank you.
I love that pick. I do. I think it's great. Now, I will give you guys my picks. I do have one Disney pick. Deadpool, but we're not going to talk about it because Deadpool is always good. But my one pick is a movie that comes out June 7th. It already came out. It came out in Toronto last year. It's Richard Linklater's Hitman.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wait, another Hitman? Oh. So
it's not based on the video games.
Rip. I would be all for another Hitman movie, to be honest, if it was good. But
so Richard Linklater directs Glenn Powell in this movie that will be out on Netflix in June. It's based on a 2001 Texas Monthly Magazine article about a assassin who disguises himself to catch clients.
That sounds so awesome. And you know I love assassin movies.
Yes. Yes, like The Killing.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's well very aware. Smart of them to release this later because of The Killer.
Yes, I agree. And I think this is going to be better than The Killer because it's Richard Linklater.
What? I mean, that's got to be a matter of personal taste, though.
Do I prefer Fincher or Linklater? If it's me, it's Linklater.
Right. And then I'm Fincher.
I know.
Yeah.
I know this.
I mean, you know what? We can each have our dream assassin movie by our dream directors. So
no. I want a heist assassin comedy directed by Spike Jonze.
Oh my god.
Tell me.
I couldn't even imagine what that would look like.
It'd be a Wes Anderson movie on cocaine.
The handheld camera.
Like this.
Frantic all the time. Characters yelling at each other.
Yelling at each other for no reason, yes. Like dream scenario in an Assassin's Creed movie. I don't know. I love it. Guys, this was fun, as usual.
Hell yeah. Now,
here's what we're going to do. You're going to tell my lovely normal co-hosts are going to tell people where they can find them on the interwebs, and we'll start with you, the handsome and talented Nicholas Ripley.
Well, you can find me on Nick J. Ripley Official at Instagram or Ripley J. Nick on Twitter. I also have two books out, A Winner for Doves, Parts 1 and 2. They're available at most online bookstores. So, yeah,
check them out. You guys should get them because they're pretty good. They're pretty good, but they are extraordinarily violent.
Yeah.
Now, Shay Samoa, the one and only, where can they find you?
Hi.
So you can find me and maybe talk to me, maybe don't. I don't know. I don't like people. But you can find me on Instagram at Limina_1999. That's like liminal, but without the L, _1999. The year I was born and one of the greatest years for movies of all time. I have a graphic novel and I have a movie coming out still. Very soon, people, life, things. Anyways, and I do photo shoots and art and stuff. So yeah, do what you want with that information
and things and stuff. She's great. She's the best. You guys know this through listening to the other 32 episodes. That without her, I can't get this done. Of course, our guest for this month, Jay. Where can people find you on the interwebs if they want to harass you?
On the interwebs, if you want to harass me, very easy to find me, Young Dad Pod, YoungDadPod. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, Threads, all the socials, True Social, Rumble, everywhere. I'm everywhere. So
we don't use True Social here, Jay.
That's fine. I barely use it too. But more reach and more downloads is more reach and more downloads. So
I don't want those people.
Fair.
You know this.
But yeah, we're everywhere. YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, X, Threads, all the places. Everywhere that we can be found, we're found. So Young Dad Pod.
I mean,
I gotta
heard
say, that's an amazing podcast title, by the way.
Thank you.
I love it.
Yes, Dad Pods Forever.
Dad pod and dad bods.
Damn right. And of course you can find me everywhere at Films Not Reviews. That's Twitter. Actually, I don't give a shit what you call it there, Jay. You're right on both instances. Instagram, Facebook, whatever. You can also find my personal Twitter at Will Eggiesabel. That's W-I-L-L last name, E-G-U-I-Z-A-B-A-L. You can't spell it anyway, so it doesn't matter. Make sure you're following me on all of those things. Go Dodgers, since we're talking about baseball. And we'll see. Nobody cares about the Mariners. They haven't won a World Series ever.
Everyone's sleeping on us. We're being slept on.
Do you know why they're sleeping on you? Because you slept on the World Series for the last 80 years.
Hey, we haven't even been around for 80 years.
That's the point.
We're like 50.
Anyways, follow us on all those places. It's been a pleasure to have you on here this month. Next month, we will have with us a returning guest, Mr. Don Shanahan. We're going to be talking about one of the greatest years in cinema history, the films of 1999.
Hey, I like that.
like that.
And I knew you were going to love that, Shay, because that is also the year that the world was bestowed upon the Antichrist. That is Shay Simone.
Oh, it's going to be a good one.
Oh, it's going to be great. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been episode 33 of the podcast for Film Snob Reviews. This is Will, and we will see y'all next time.
Bye.
All right. Have a good one.